Hello, guys, and welcome to the Blatsman Global Podcast. I am Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to day seven.
Day seven, yes.
Day seven. It's been a good day, Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
A long day, but a good day.
Yeah.
Literally three matches, three wins.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Even had some doubles wins as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Which we'll touch on later on,
mm-hmm.
briefly. But yeah, how are you feeling after a tough day six that was actually ended on a high note, thanks to Taylor Townsend?
Yeah. To be fair, I didn't really think about it that way of like, oh yeah, there's three wins in one day. But yeah, no, it's pretty good. All of those matchup looked good to me. Even the Felix one, mainly because of the fact that he's been playing really well the first two rounds. Like, none of it, to some people, it might be surprising. But if anyone has watched his first two rounds, even if his opponents may not have as high a ranking as his opponent today, to me, it just shows to you the level that he's on right now, like mentally, physically. So yeah, but it's been good. It was a chill Saturday, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think for a Saturday, the US Open was pretty chilled, in my opinion. Yeah.
I wonder if that's because like a lot of Americans went out yesterday. So
I think we have to consider there's fewer matches because of that 3-day start. So there's that as well.
Yeah, the Sunday start. Yeah.
Yeah, the Sunday start, and I don't know, maybe the tickets were a bit more expensive. But yeah, for normally the Saturday of a tournament, yet alone a Grand Slam, should be like busy, ramped. Even the grounds were not that busy. So yeah, which is pretty interesting and weird at the same time. But yeah.
Should we talk about the first match of the day? Mm-hmm. So Coco Gauff opening Ash.
Yeah.
So she took on the 28th seed, Magdalena Freck.
Mm-hmm.
Made light work, really. It was 6-2, 6-3. Probably the keenest match she's played so far.
Yeah, I would say especially like the hardcore swing, not just US Open, to be honest. Although the match did have some ups and downs from both. Both of their serves, again, it was another match where both serves were not the best, but she still played way better, and she was a little bit more like locked in and stuff, especially on the first set as well. But yeah, definitely the one where she got it done quickly and smoothly as well.
I thought the numbers were quite good from that match. So I wasn't here for it. I was back at our Airbnb because we had a late night last night, but I was keeping an eye on the score and like kind of listening to it on like US Open radio. But when I saw the numbers, so she was nearly perfect at the net, 10 for 11 points won at the net, which obviously she's a great doubles player, so we know she's accomplished when it comes to finishing off points at the net. So that read nicely. Also, she won 71% of points on her first serve, which I think also that makes for kind of, I don't know, good reading, especially because she's working on this new motion. Mm. And yeah, she only hit four double faults, one in the first set and three in the second.
Yeah, the double faults were only flying a bit more in the second set. The first set was, like I said earlier, the first set was much cleaner than the second, for sure.
So I just think the numbers in terms of overall for the match, like she'll be pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
Not that you should always or necessarily always go by like stats, but I think sometimes it does give you a good sense of like how a player's feeling and how they're playing. And yeah, like I said, the numbers read pretty well for Coco Gauff against Magdalena Freck today. Mm. Her next opponent, which we'll talk about later on, but it was a matchup everybody was kind of like anticipating, fourth round potentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Naomi Osaka,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be very, very exciting. I think we both feel the same about the outcome of that match. But before we kind of get into that, just in terms of the way Coco is playing today, she did say in press how she kind of came onto court like just with like a lot more freedom in terms of there was no like weight or expectations like on her, whereas before her two previous matches they were stressful like affairs. She literally had a panic attack like against Donna Vekic when she was in tears like on court, both during the match and afterwards during the on-court interview. But there was none of that today. Like, just a pretty smooth sailing for the 2023 champion. I do feel like the whole, you know, playing with freedom thing, like I said, that was evident today in the way she played against Freck. Like, you can see there was very little kind of pressure or like stress she was kind of putting on herself. And that showed in the numbers, as we've mentioned. The next opponent now, before, obviously, during her press conference, she wasn't aware. So Osaka and Kasatkina, they were still playing, I think. So it wasn't confirmed who should be playing in the next round. She did touch upon the potential of playing Osaka. So yeah, you guys should definitely go and watch the whole press conference, because she did speak about the potential of playing Naomi Osaka. But on that match, were you watching a bit of it?
I watched a match, yeah.
Naomi Osaka, Daria Katsukina, the 15th seed. So Osaka won in three sets, bageled the Australian in the first set. So it was 6-love, 4-6, 6-2. And that match was played on Armstrong, second on, I believe. And yeah, I mean, Osaka, she... it's kind of been the theme of her tournament this year, like just really about her business. The second set, she kind of, I don't want to say slipped up, but she let it go. I mean, she could have won the match in straights, really and truly.
The thing is, Kasatkina was actually just playing way better compared to the first set. She was applying a lot more pressure on Osaka, which threw Osaka off. Even like literally every single area, she just improved it. And I think for moments, she didn't really know like what to do, which then she just picked up from the third set. I think for me, what I found really impressive about that match is how she was able to regroup herself and sort of like in a very calm way, not putting pressure on herself, doing what she has to do. I wasn't too worried. I think Osaka is a much better player. So again, I just felt like that was another match of, if you lose this, is all on you, basically. More of like how you're going to deal with it mentally. And she dealt with it well, even though she was, a set down and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a good match in terms of seeing her improving in her problem solving. Changing up some of the motion of her serve, of course, as well, like moving better moving more on the court. She wasn't as aggressive compared to her other matches, but she got the job done anyways. But
No, well said. I think Kasatkina as well, she's the kind of player that she's crafty, like, so she's got a lot of variety. And that can sometimes like throw opponents off, but I think when you're a player like Osaka, you can, I guess, dominate a match like against a player like that. And that's kind of what she did in the third set anyway, and obviously in the first, bageling Kasatkina. But yeah, a very, very good performance, I feel. And she's just in a good place, like coming off the back of Montreal. Obviously, the final didn't go her way, but she played very, very good tennis in Canada. And she's carried that on here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very excited now for this next matchup against Coco Gauff.
Yeah.
The head-to-head is actually... it's Gauff leading the head-to-head. I think it's 4-2,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Could be 4-4. No, I think it is 4-2.
It's 4-2.
The last time they played, though... Osaka did retire, so it was a set all. It's evenly balanced, but I'm going to give you... Are we going to give predictions?
I think Osaka's going to win. I would have said Coco if Coco was more on form, but based on the last couple of weeks, based on the performance this tournament, Osaka has been a much better player than Coco. I mean, Coco is literally in the middle of the slam, changing things up. Osaka has more matches under her belt. She literally just left a final. And she's playing really well here. Whereas you have Coco, who's, you know, has been a bit like up and down. But she's a great athlete. She's a great tennis player. So I wouldn't be surprised if she ends up winning. She might be more driven with the fact that she's facing someone like Osaka that might actually push her a little bit rather than being more nervous, because I think there's more pressure when she's playing a player who's not as great as her or like lower ranked or something, or way lower ranked or something.
She's expected to be.
Exactly. Mm. Whereas Osaka, considering that she is a full-time Grand Slam champion, she's playing really well. I think she's probably going in. To me, there's more pressure on Osaka than Coco, especially with the head-to-head as well. But I still think that Osaka's going to win it based on what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks. But it's tennis. You literally just never know. Bublik is literally 100%. Beating Tommy Paul as we speak right now. And I don't think a lot of people expected that, for instance. So it just shows you how crazy the sport makes no sense. But yeah, what about you?
I'm with you. I think Osaka's got it.
I thought you said Coco.
No, I said Osaka. I did. Just really because of the way she's been playing, like coming through her matches with, I want to say, relative ease. And this is dating back to Montreal, like I said before. Like, she's carried that form over to New York, and I think that bodes really well for her. Mm. And yeah, exactly. Goff, she's literally working on, like, you know, a new service motion, like midway through a tournament. It's like very admirable, but I do think that's it's going to be tricky. And I kind of agree with you as well in terms of the expectation or the pressure. It's probably more so on Osaka being a two-time champion here too as well. Obviously Goff won it in 2023, but yeah, I feel like that kind of does add more pressure to Osaka. Or on Osaka even, to say that, yeah, she's done it here twice. But you could also argue in her favour that, yeah, she knows how to play here. She knows how to get it done. So just a very, very exciting matchup. And Osaka was asked about the prospect, I say the prospect, going into that match facing Coco Gauff. And this is what she said.
I mean, my recollections were that I remember just knowing that she was going to be a really great tennis player, which I was right. but yeah, I mean, she was, what, 15 at the time? And I thought she just handled herself really well, and I knew she was going to be back there. So now to be playing her again after 6 years, I don't know if that makes me old. But yeah, just to be at this point of my life and to be playing her again is honestly, for me, feels kind of special.
So yeah, we look forward to that match. That'll be on Monday. I'm going to say it's going to be a night match on Ash. Pretty confident about that. Hopefully it's first on, not second.
No,
but yeah, what a match in prospect, man. Fourth round, like we're getting to that stage, Lucy. So yeah, and now on to the men. So this match, I'm very excited. Well, I was excited going into it, and also excited to talk about it. So Felix Auger-Aliassime taking out the third seed, Alexander Zverev, 4-6, 7-6, 6-4, 6-4. Like vintage Felix Auger-Aliassime, man. Like, it was so good to see. Just firing that forehand, like literally. It felt like I was watching Felix like back in 2021, like basically top 10 Felix. It was that kind of level. I want to say this is his biggest win in terms of ranking. So, or at a Grand Slam. So, and again, we've been saying it for a while. Like, he's kind of showing signs that he's getting back to you know, the Felix we kind of, you know, knew, well, basically the Felix that was a top 10 player. Like, let's just put it that way.
I mean, at the beginning of the season, he was winning like
two titles exactly.
Yeah, there was a moment where he won the most title out of all the ATP players. He was going to go on another streak, but he lost that final against Tsitsipas. I can't remember what tournament it was.
It was a 500.
I know it was a Middle East one anyways. But yeah, so the beginning of the season was looking really good for him. Obviously, he got then a little bit tricky during clay, grass. But even despite that, I did not expect him to be playing this well at the US Open. That's the thing. It's not a thing where he's just going through the next round. He's actually playing incredibly well from that first round to now. There's just this, like I said on the pod before, like, just this different energy. The way he's walking on the court. Like,
there's a swagger. There's a swag.
There's a little bit more, I don't know, something in him. Like, it's just different. He's even interacting more with the crowd, which you don't really see him like doing as much. That's not really like his thing, but yeah, his aura and his energy is completely different, and I think that's translated into like his game. But yeah, against Zverev today, he was just something else. Like, even on the first set, even though Zverev won the first set, it was still like pretty
tight. It was close,
still pretty tight. So I wasn't worried when he lost that. I also generally believe that Zverev underestimated how Felix's going to come. I mean, during one of his press conferences, he said, like, yeah, when Felix plays well, he plays well. When he plays bad, he plays really bad. And, I mean, I hear what he's trying to say, but, yeah, I think he saw a level of Felix that he probably didn't expect, because he couldn't find any solutions.
To his credit, though, today, he did front up and say, yeah, he was too good, as in Zverev. He said, yeah, Felix was literally too good.
Yeah, he didn't, during the match, like, he kept looking at his box, like, I don't know, like, what to do. But, yeah, Felix was just, he was hitting some shots where you wouldn't expect him to, like, hit it. Like, he was hitting it at the perfect place, at the perfect time.
Finding lines.
Yeah, he was finding lines. He wasn't rushing. He was moving well. He was defending really well. Zverev was returning well as well. So it was, Felix couldn't rely too much on his serve. He had to rely on other things that he was doing on the court, because Zverev was actually returning pretty good. Honestly, massive credits to Felix. And I really hope that people watch more of like his matches. Obviously, next he's facing Rublev, which will be really interesting. I do think that'll be a very long match, but I won't be surprised if he beats him as well. If he plays what he played today, where literally his opponents don't know what to do next, it's going to be something.
Because the head-to-head before coming in was 6-2 to Zverev. Although, and we did, this was our post leading into this match, Felix beat him at Wimbledon, which was their only Grand Slam meeting, and that was a 5-setter.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something about playing Grand Slams, like, it does bring out a player's like best level. And yeah, this being a hard court, like, it's probably his favoured surface. So just so good to see him playing at this level, man. I am so happy for Felix, like, because it's been a rough couple of years.
Yeah.
His ranking is nowhere near where it should be in terms of, he's a top 30 player at the moment. I think he's inside the top 20 seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Top 30 seeds. So yeah, he is a top 10 player, and I feel like this result now, it shows he's got it in him still, like, which is great to see. He's only 25 years old as well, so he's still very young, and there's still time for him to get back to where he was. So this, hopefully this result is kind of stepping stones for him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Rublev is the next opponent, the 15th seed, I believe Rublev is. So again, that's a very exciting matchup in prospect. They have previous, let's see what the head-to-head is actually before we move on. They did play. Oh, okay. This does not bode well. 7-1 to Rublev.
Yeah.
So the last meeting was Hamburg semi-finals, and that was 6-1, 6-4 to Rublev. The last hard court meeting was Doha again in 2025. That's a free setter. So Felix's only win came in 2022, and that was an indoor match in Rotterdam, again in three sets. And that's when he did win that title in Rotterdam, I remember. So I don't think players kind of read too much into the head-to-heads. Like, that's something for like us in the media to kind of, I don't know, look at.
I disagree. I think they do. Yeah. I think it kind of helps them to go back and create a plan, know what to do and everything. Reflect back on the last matches to know what to do.
No, but I'm saying as in to say, oh wow, like this guy's beaten me seven times. I've only beaten him once. I don't think Felix is going to be dwelling on that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I still don't agree with that personally.
Oh, really?
If it's a high number, you're definitely going to dwell on it 100%. Because it's going to play into it as well. But that's just how I feel personally.
Interesting. But yeah, Felix, I asked him about basically playing in New York because out of all of the Grand Slams, he's had his best results in New York, semi-finalist in 2022, I think. And yeah, this is what he said.
Well, New York and Australia, I mean, just hard courts. For me, obviously, I think it's better. I can play well on grass too and clay, but over the years, I do feel that, I mean, we also play majority of events on hard courts and it suits my game, so I feel like, you know, at some point you can kind of get a rhythm and, you know, and get comfortable on the surface. So at least for me. So yeah, I think that's one of the reasons. And then I don't know what else. It's tough to say. I mean, do I like the crowd's energy or, you know, the city? I don't believe in all that stuff. I'm more practical and like, okay, how am I playing? So for sure, I feel like, you know, these conditions suit me well. Yeah.
So yeah, that was his answer. Obviously, hard courts, like you said, it's probably his favourite surface. Interesting how he said the crowd as well, maybe or maybe not, like play a part or play a role. He said he hasn't really paid too much attention to that, which I found quite interesting. But the crowd were definitely for him tonight, which was nice to hear.
Mm.
Like a lot of Canadian, well, there were there was a Canadian section like at the top chanting. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the overall crowd, like he's a popular guy.
Yeah.
And obviously, this is in the United States, like Canada's next door. So it makes sense. But yeah, man, just so happy for Felix. And we look forward to that matchup against Andre Rublev.
Mm-hmm.
Before we wrap up, Lucy, doubles. So Venus Williams and Leila Fernandez, they're still going strong. So they're through to the third round in doubles. They beat Orica Ekiri and Iri Hizumi today in straight sets, 7-6, 6-1. And that, again, was on Armstrong. And Taylor Townsend, fresh from her upset win last night against Mira Andreeva, took to the doubles court today, top seeds with Katerina Siniakova. And they took out Diana Yastremska and Alicia Parks, again in straight sets, 6-3, 6-3. And again, that was on court 12, I want to say, packed out. Like, again, standing room only on those outside courts. And I, to be honest, I actually like the fact that spectators get to see Taylor Townsend because she's literally been the story of this first week.
Yeah.
And just carrying it so well. Like, she did press afterwards alone. So, no disrespect to Siniakova, but Taylor Townsend is literally that girl right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, after a doubles match, she did press. She was asked about, obviously, Ostapenko and, you know, I guess it was very similar to last night as well. Like,
yeah, because Ostapenko put like a public apology.
How do you feel about the apology, Lucy?
I think it's bullshit, in all honesty. I think she should have kept it to herself unless she apologised to Taylor, which she didn't do. The only reason why she apologised is for some PR stuff. So I could not give a heck.
I feel otherwise, to be honest. But
and it doubles down again the everything that she's doing because she used English as an excuse. No, you knew what you were doing. Like, she, and even Taylor literally even said in the press, like, she was saying something to get me out of my character, to get me under my skin.
Mm.
And it didn't work. And so that's why for her to turn around saying, yeah, you know, English is not my first language, da 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 da. What's that have to do with it? Like, you knew what you were doing, but it is what it is. At the end of the day, Taylor's here, she's not, but honestly, I prefer no apology than backhanded apologies just because you're getting cooked.
It would have been nice it would have been nice for Ostapenko to actually apologize personally to Taylor. Exactly.
Which
definitely
she will never do.
But yeah. I am going to kind of give her the benefit of the doubt in terms of the English thing, because yes, I do feel like obviously English is not her first language, and in her apology she
what
just
what does that have to do? You don't need to speak English to be racist.
In her apology, she acknowledged the fact that she wasn't aware that basically what she said would cause such offense. I'm sorry, and I feel I'm willing to basically accept that.
That's fair. But
it doesn't make what she said right. Definitely, like the whole no class thing, that was out of line. Mm. But the lack of education or no education, that's no. You cannot say that. So
they're both bad, equally little thingy. But for me, I just feel like that's how we give excuses to these girls and to just white people that are saying offensive stuff all the time. It's like, I'm sorry, in 2025, I'm not accepting anyone saying, I didn't know this, I didn't know that. Especially for someone who's been around people for so long, around different cultures, traveling around the world for so long. So it is what it is anyway. Like I said, she's not here. Taylor's here in singles and in doubles. In fact, she's even playing tomorrow. I think she's second on
Louis. That's our one and only singles match.
Yeah, it's our only singles match. So yeah, she's on after Manarino and
second on Armstrong, yeah.
So tomorrow afternoon, so we'll see how that goes.
So yeah, that literally wraps up.
Yeah,
day
and
seven.
That's our only match, we will have a day 7 and 8 pod rather than a day no. What day is it today? Today's day 7.
Day 7, yeah.
So sorry, we'll have a day 8 and 9 pod rather than having just an 8 pod. So we'll be talking about a Taylor match then. But obviously, we'll still be live on socials. So if you want to know more about the match and everything live then, make sure that you tune in our socials. But until then, we shall catch you guys up within 2 days.